finding them on the papers. It's hard to find in the magazine. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on the TV screen, but it's on the radio. Truth is on the radio.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour two of the National Intel Report. And I'll tell you what, let's not dally here. Let's just jump right back into the phone calls. By the way, this is the second hour, the continuation of the first, on the 19th day of January 2006. Jeff in New Mexico. Hello, Jeff.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Jeff.
I have a comment about Winchester firearms as treason. What they're doing?
Yeah, I heard you on a program earlier today talking about Winchester. Where are they going, Japan or China?
China.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I almost got to mention this on the Stan show. Though Winchester firearms managers et al. Might not lie to American workers about the reason they decided to move manufacturing overseas, brazenly telling patriotic American workers right to their face that they don't want to pay them patriotic wages. This land of Oz, corporate executives, big bankers, politicians, matrix complex is inconveniencing big-time ordinary workers and committing unnecessary traitorous offenses against less well-connected workers, which, and this is more ungodly than the little guy, you know, like lying about job or business income to get a higher credit rating. And, you know, but union workers, they might take cuts in hours per week sometimes to compel the union hall to bring in new apprentices, and unions should fight for unemployment insurance for first-time job seekers, in my opinion, also.
Jeff, can we find anything constitutional in this, or what?
Well, I had a comment about Christians.
Go ahead.
You know, one issue I disagree with Christians about is assisted suicide. We think it is honorable for an 18-year-old to be, in effect, suicided in Iraq or Afghanistan, ostensibly to make Americans more free or more private property than wealthier. But when a father or mother asks for assisted suicide when they have reached the point where if they kept paying the greedy medical community to be kept alive in a miserable old-age disease state, their children would miss out on an excess amount of private property rights inheritance, and we don't call the parent honorable for asking for humane form.
That's why I'm all for sending 65-year and older over to Iraq, to give the younger guys a break here.
Yeah, I thought about that, too. Why, if you're going to sacrifice people for the good of others, why does it have to be young people?
But Jeff, hold on here a second. Do you realize what the problem would be trying to fill the ranks to do an unjustified and illegal and unconstitutional war with a bunch of old farts out there that know better? That would be a real problem for you. You think they're having a problem now trying to keep the ranks full here. That'd present a real problem.
Yeah, let unemployment go up a little bit, and you'll have an army full of people.
Yeah,
plus the older people are getting Social Security and pensions, a lot of them, and they aren't joining the military out of not having money or something.
Yeah, they're starving all by themselves quite well. Hey, thanks for your call, Jeff. I appreciate it. That's one of my pet peeves, you know, and I brought this up earlier, John, that we have people, large segments of our society right now, so dependent on the federal government. I felt bad the other day. A woman called into my program, and I suggested that that she couldn't get a portion of my show, and I suggested that she go to the computer because we have archive everything and it's free, and she said, I don't have a computer. And then she finally blurted out, she said, I'm so poor that I can't afford one. Now, isn't after working your entire lives in this country that you're relegated to living literally from monthly check to monthly check, And it's between, because of the cost of everything, it's between, shall I eat today or should I heat my home today? This is how sad this is. We'll be right back.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour.
$15 for 2 hours.
And $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting. 1015 South Mays. Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
Ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. John Ainsworth is my guest today on this Thursday edition of the National Intel Report. 800-313-9443. We have pretty much open lines. So let's take the next caller here, Dave in Arkansas. David, how you doing?
Hello, John and John Ainsworth.
Hey, doing? Dave.
Hey, regarding the issue of this being a Christian nation.
Yes, sir.
How about let's let Mr. John Bouvier in his Law Dictionary of 1856 speak to this issue.
Okay.
Definition, Christianity, the religion established by Jesus Christ. 2. Here we go. Christianity has been judicially declared to be a part of the common law of Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Uh-huh. And how about this? To write or speak contemptuously and maliciously against it is an indictable offense.
Wow.
Yes, sirree.
Oh, geez. Can you imagine them trying to enforce that nowadays?
Oh, boy, howdy.
We have people, the United States government. Johnny, okay?
That's not me. That's Dave.
Oh, I'm sorry. Dave, quit calling. Quit coughing at my phone here. I can't hear my guest. I can't hear my... There we go.
I have a link to my website, by the way, nomoresurfs.com, too. Uh-huh. Bouvier's 1856.
Yeah, it's amazing to me because I've read enough, and the big debate has been, you know, the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists. Well, the Federalists won. Okay, we know that. If it would have been the anti-federalists that would have put this Constitution together with their wording and their ideals, this would have been a different Constitution, I believe.
There would have been no Bill of Rights without the anti-federalists, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're absolutely right there. And as you look at the Constitution itself, there are some glaring holes in that. But that wasn't enough, because as John Ainsworth has pointed out here, that Reconstruction after the Civil War, they were able to do then what they weren't able to do initially, to centralize all this federal power.
Right.
And that was the start of the demise of a free people, when they said, states, federal government and federal power, federal judiciary, federal this, federal that. And that was the real downhill slide. I mean, it started before that, but this is when it really took root, and this is when the country really started to be destroyed.
Let me put a couple things to rest here also. Is we were talking about the Christian constitutions earlier, and I was giving some quotes out. And, you know, I like to know what I'm talking about before I put something out. So I've already researched this years ago. And if anyone wants to email me, I already have the excerpts out of the original state constitutions of the original 13 states, the part that references Christianity or God. And if you will email me, I will give you a copy of it. I'll email a copy back to you. And you can email me at tigerja@bellsouth.net. And again, we need to understand this, because here we are, and this is what we're talking about at the very beginning of the show, is we have people on in this movement knowing something's wrong, and there's some fundamentals that we've got to come to consensus on. We were a Christian nation. That's a fact. I think one thing that Keith started to allude to, though, was how a lot of wars are based on religion and Christianity, and that, you know, I've heard this before, that more people have been killed because of Christianity than all of the wars altogether, you know, things of this nature. I've also researched that, and nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, let's look at the Mongol conquest of Asia and Europe. Let's look at Stalin's purge. Now, I'm just talking about these are the secular people that aren't religiously affiliated. Let's look at Adolf Hitler and the 40 million people killed during World War II. Let's look at what the Buddhists did, you know, the Shinto Buddhists, Japanese going into China, the rape of Nanking. And people have this fear that Christians are out there killing all these people. And if we would just get away from that, we would have this peace-loving people that don't like war. Well, I hate to tell you this, but I'm not sure, you know, George Bush is a Christian by actions. And I don't say that lightly, because you don't accuse someone of that unless you have information to back it up.
Well, you're known by your fruits.
You're known by your fruits. And so this concept that Christianity kills more people is also a farce, and that's easily researchable. And I actually have that on a document form also, showing you all the wars listed of the last 1,000 years. And you'll see that the amount of people killed because of the spread of Christianity is minuscule compared to the millions and millions and millions killed from secular humanists who just believe in themselves.
Well, the enslavement of this nation, John, I know that you know that originates back in the Reconstruction Act.
Right.
And how this, you know, voter registration, by the way, that's when it originated, in the Reconstruction period.
Well, the universal suffrage.
Because local elections in the South were at the point of a bayonet,
right,
under an ironclad oath.
Right.
That citizen of the United States that is declared under penalty of perjury by every registered voter in this country today, that's the enslavement tool.
You know, my wife's great-grandfather, and it's only a great-grandfather, not a great-great or a great-great-great, fought in the Civil War. He was a lieutenant, second lieutenant in the Georgia infantry.
Well, my great-grandfather, Anderson, who fought in the Civil War, is buried here in Arkansas with a Confederate flag over his chest and a Confederate uniform.
But, what I was going to say is he never took the oath, and he never was allowed to vote after the war.
That's right, because it was illegal to vote.
Right.
And we still cannot vote in our local elections unless we declare to be a federal citizen.
Now, Dave, you know I disagree with that, because you can always reestablish your state and vote in a
well,
legitimate
I'm talking
government
about under the current under the current.
Well, yeah, I agree with that.
Status of affairs.
I'm trying to figure out when Arkansas is going to get cranked up here, buddy.
Well, hey, let's get together, John.
Call me.
All right.
We used to talk. Gosh, what, 7-8 years ago?
Well, it was back in the 90s. There, I know.
Yeah. Give me. You still
well,
know how to contact
we
me?
We
right?
had a sir.
You still know how to contact me, right?
You just gave your email out.
Yeah.
Right. But I tried to get a convention going here to reestablish, and it got sabotaged, and it blew away due to lack of interest because of that.
Well, this is why we've got to quit, cutting our feet out from underneath us. And we've got to figure out when these people who come to try to be provocateurs, we've got to slow them down.
Yeah.
And, again, if you need someone to come speak to people out in Arkansas, hey, man, I'm here for you.
Okay, sure. Appreciate it, John. We got to get something going here, bud.
I'm there for you, man. You know, we've got to come together. There are certain things we've got to overcome, though. We've got to overcome fear. We've got to overcome greed, you know, people who are into it for themselves and just want to keep all their money. You know, we've got to have this has got to be a moral war to take back what we've got. And we've got to quit looking at that. We've got to get rid of complacency, selfishness, and fear is the biggest thing. People are frozen because of fear. And
particularly during this tax terrorism season. Check out my website if you would, John. I'd appreciate your take.
Well, I'm on vacation right now. I won't get to it for a week. But what is it?
But no more serfs. SERFS.com.
No more serfs.
No more serfs.com.
SERFS.com.
Right. I assist folks that have made their own determination and they wish to correct their status, and that's what I assist folks with. Because, you know, status gives rise to standing, and the simple truth is that one who claims to be a citizen of the United States has no standing to question the validity of the public debt. That's right out of the fourth section of the 14th Amendment.
Right. Right, and we've got to correct it, but we can't just hop out. We've got to hop in. And there's we have to hop in to correct status.
Well, one does not want to have a status of a stateless one.
Right, and that's what a lot of people are doing. They're kind of getting into that limbo area.
Well, that patriot myth garbage of expatriation, repatriation is totally wrong, in my opinion.
It all depends on how it's applied. You'd have to look at each individual and what they're doing.
It didn't even apply to people that were born here.
Well, I think it's a conceptual concept of expatriating from this federal U.S. citizenship and repatriating back into your original state citizenship. The real issue is, though, that the federal citizenship is unconstitutional and a nullity, and you don't have to expatriate from it.
Well,
it's a nullity in law.
If you expatriate from something that doesn't exist, where does that leave one? You know? Give me a break.
In the ethers and vapors of the cosmos, I guess.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, in other words, you're claiming that something like that does exist, when in fact it doesn't.
Well, I believe if it's unconstitutional, it is as if never enacted and does not exist, and it is therefore not a status. It is given a status only because people recognize it.
That's
you know,
because folks have been brainwashed and propagandized into claiming to be that.
Well, right, and this is where education comes in, you know. And when they control the education system, and this is what I love about the homeschool movement is there's a lot of truth getting out in there, but when they control the education system, they can tell you who you are, and you'll start believing it, unless you will get off your duff and go learn what's going on. And that's why John Stadtmiller is on this planet right now.
Why am I here? Why am I here and not in Tennessee?
by the way, John, I've got a seminar I'm giving in Fayetteville, Arkansas on March the 4th.
Okay.
There's a flyer on my website.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you send it over and we'll announce it.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, Dave. We'll take the break. 800-313-9443. You all getting lazy out there, aren't you? You don't have any questions about the Constitution? We'll even accept some more calls on the line of... we had a libertarian call in. What happened to him? We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Do you desire your health and vitality to be in harmony with the rhythms of nature? Trivortex technology features subtle energy products that boost energy levels, relieve pain and stress, and much more at very affordable prices. You have the opportunity to wear vitamins, minerals, and nutrients that absorb through your skin rather than taking them orally. This is real, not science fiction. Go to trivortex.com, that is TRIVORTEX.com, to open a whole new realm of health and vitality for you and your family. This is Brian David Anderson, inventor of Trivortex technology products that assist in so many areas, such as pain relief, symptoms of menopause, losing weight, or stopping smoking. Trivortex technology is in harmony with the rhythms of nature.
George Washington's inaugural address, the last paragraph here, and I've just been scanning this stuff while on break here. His last statement here, last paragraph, he said, "Having thus imparted to you my sentiments as they have been awakened by the occasion which brings us together, I shall take my present leave, but not without resorting once more to the benign parent of the human race, his humble supplication that, since he has been pleased to favor the American people with opportunities for deliberating in perfect tranquility and dispositions for deciding with unparalleled humanity on a form of government for the security of their union and the advancement of their happiness, so his divine blessing may be equally conspicuous in the enlarged views, the temperate consultations, and the wise measures on which the success of this government must depend." That sounds like Christianity to me, doesn't it, to you, John Ainsworth?
Well, it does. And again, you know, we've got to rely on something. And I'm not saying that as a cop-out, but the issue is that law originates from someplace. It either originates from man, it's either the best idea men can come up with, or it originates from God, and it's immutable and unchangeable and doesn't change every time you have a change of power and a change of men in office.
Yeah, because I've made this observation before, and it is true. You know, at the time that the Declaration of Independence was done, the Constitution was done, these were men. Men are disposed to the same weaknesses as in one generation as to any other. And there has to be a guiding force that is greater than man himself to give him a moral compass.
Right.
And these founders, these founders understood this. Benjamin Franklin even understood this. Benjamin Franklin was the one that when this conflagration of people that were fighting each other, they were trying to work out the Declaration and do all of these wonderful things. I mean, they were at each other's throats. It was Benjamin Franklin was often cited as being the deist of the crowd, the ladies' man, the guy that was more favorable to England and King George than anybody else. He was the one that said, look, what we need to do is open every one of these sessions with a fervent prayer. And we must ask for guidance. It was Benjamin Franklin, the deist that I've heard many people cite that he was. He understood what a calming effect that had and a refocusing agent, if you will, to do the business in hand of the day. And it just amazes me that people have been so conditioned out of the influence of Christianity and its teachings, and nobody can argue with it. I mean,
right.
You know, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. That means your neighbor can't screw your wife, okay? For you people out there that don't understand biblical principle, thou shalt not steal, okay? Thou shalt not murder. It wasn't kill. Thou shalt not murder. That means taking a life unjustified. Numerous things, and from which we drew the precept of law itself. Take a look at it, and tell me that our law and our system of justice, that common law, was not rooted in the biblical principles as laid down by Jesus Christ and God Himself. Tell me that is not so. You know, I just people, and the point I wanted to make about this, John, is that these men, they were just men, just like you and I.
Right.
They had a great purpose and a great deal to do at the time. But then, at that time, it was just quill pens and inkwells. It wasn't incandescent or fluorescent lamps or ballpoint pens. Mankind has not changed. The deficiencies in our characters have not changed. We are still the same creature as we were a couple of hundred years ago as we are today. We have the same failings. We have the same inadequacies. We have the same problems. Technology has changed, not the nature of man. And people need to understand that. And if they think that man is the answer to man's problems, then they better start looking at it in a different light. Because there has to be some divine principle in there to give you that compass in which to move forward.
Let's look at all the man-oriented governments, all the dictatorships out there. If we say that, you know, authority comes from, you know, the best mind, the best man out there, well, let's look at Stalinist Russia. Let's look at Mao Zedong. Let's look at these people who kicked God out, and look at how wonderful these governments are that they had. And we see that, you know, one thing we see is that an 18th century deist and a secular humanist, by modern standards, would be a screaming liberal. I mean, a screaming conservative, right-wing Christian fanatic. I mean, if this so-called deist, Ben Franklin, if he were to say those words today, people would put him in the category as Jerry Falwell and, you know, people like that.
Well,
and so we've got to put things in perspective.
And we're getting all this flack from is the people that are of a secular nature, that do not believe in God, do not believe in the principles of God or laid down in Christian principles. This is where the argument's coming from. So, you know, and to illustrate that, and I've mentioned this several times, take a look at what Judge Roy Moore went down in the Supreme Court of Louisiana. That he had the Ten Commandments in the rotunda, that Supreme Court building, that state Supreme Court building, and it was the ACLU, it was the ADL, it was Southern Poverty Law, a lot of groups of people working behind the scenes to make sure that God was taken out of that public venue. And folks, when I saw the polls, and there had to have been 10, 11 polls that were done on it, every poll that came back, 50% of the people thought it was a good idea that it stay, 50% of the people thought it was a good idea that it goes. If you were to take that same poll about that issue right around the founding of this country, what do you think it would have been? It sure wouldn't have been 50-50. And chances are in the future it'll be 60-40 or 70-30. Opposed, not for. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio.
only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that diseased organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Republic Broadcasting Network toll-free at 1-800-724-2719.
As a listener of this network, you know that we bring you the news and analysis that you just won't get from the corporate-dominated media outlets in this country. As an educated citizen, you also know that freedom itself is not free, but requires constant vigilance and sacrifice. A radio network such as Republic Broadcasting Network, a rare commodity indeed, also cannot survive on good intentions alone. So the next time you think about going down to the local superstore or electronics store, stop, get online first, and visit RepublicTradingPost.com. We have thousands of items at very competitive prices, and every dollar you spend with us will be invested back into RBM, so that we may continue to bring you the news and information the public so desperately needs. RepublicTradingPost.com, the store that invests its profits in your freedom.
Most Americans want our government to control our borders, especially since 9/11. But amazingly, some political leaders want to do away with borders entirely, whether the American people agree or not. And they have a serious plan for accomplishing their aims while deceiving the public. It's called the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA, a huge power grab. If Congress approves the FTAA, our nation will be pushed down the same path that produced the European Union. There will be no more illegal immigration because there will be no enforcement of borders. Americans will lose control of their destiny as regional bureaucrats from corrupt political systems decide our future. Sound incredible? Check out the facts for yourself. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then tell Congress you want a better future for America. That's stoptheftaa.org.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
We are back, and our phones are pretty well loaded up here. Thomas in Michigan. Hello, Thomas. You're on the air.
Hello. You were talking earlier about Christian Nation, and I just got a couple of comments I wanted. One thing, in my opinion, that's an oxymoron in the sense that it's a contradiction in terms, same as Christian church. If Christ was around these days, they'd kill them, you know. They'd kick them out of the churches. I'm sure they'd kill them. Anytime there's an organized, you saw how the organized religion in his own day treated them. The other thing
I've always said, if Jesus Christ, the second coming of Jesus Christ happened, we'd ask him for his ID and his DNA sample.
Yeah, we have to be real careful. I mean, you're absolutely right that the church has gone apostate. I mean, the church is a huge problem out there because they're not looking for the truth. They're kind of rubber stamping a lot of this evil that's going on in government. But we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, you know, just because, and Christians aren't perfect. But the concept, I believe you're absolutely wrong that these are oxymorons. Now, they might be oxymorons in the way it's applied.
No, I mean, in a sense that it's a contradiction in terms. The term Christian nation, it's a contradiction in terms.
Well, we were a Christian people organizing a form of government based upon Christian principles. Now, did we have evil, vile people that took power and abused their positions?
Okay,
and you're absolutely right. That did happen.
I mean, that's how we got to where we are now.
Right.
You know, and now we have the people who believe in the republic or a person's right to exist for his own sake without harm to others, or we have a democracy where they can basically pick and choose what's right and wrong for you. What about the conscientious objector, in the militia?
Well, again, you're trying to what we have right now is not a Christian nation. So do not confuse what we have with what we had. So if you try to say that what we have is a Christian nation, that's an absolute total absurdity.
No, I'm just saying this is what always happens. No matter how good of a man system we set up, it always evolves into something different. And government just keeps getting bigger and bigger, to make a long story short. But, I'm not a conscientious objector, but, I think that, there probably are true conscientious objectors, and I think more power to them, but I'm just not one.
And Thomas, you're absolutely right that, government's always, no matter what government set up by man, always secures more and more power and gets more and more out of control to where it just absolutely oppresses the people. But the issue is where does remedy lie? And this is why we it's so important to look is how do we turn back? One of the articles of the North Carolina Constitution of 1776 said that a frequent recurrence to fundamental principles is absolutely necessary to the security of a free state. And so this is a principle to where, after 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, we've got to look back and return back to where we came from, because we tend to grow bigger and bigger and bigger and never look back. And we lose sight of where we were. And so we've got to go back. We've got to be able to have a recurrence to the fundamental principles upon which this nation was founded. And the issue is, do we do it as a body politic and try to get involved in politics to make that happen? Or do we simply look back in history and see where abuses and criminality took place, and I'm going to say the Reconstruction Act, to where we have legal remedy. And we have a right to return to that. But it will be a Christian-based legislative body.
I think
representative.
The Supreme Court's ruled that the district courts are not Article III courts.
The Supreme Court is not a court of the people anymore.
Yeah. I think we have to pray that that we're warriors, and if we live as we're warriors, and if we die, we're warriors. And
absolutely, I believe you. I'm there with you. Warriors like Gideon, man. We just need 300. We don't need 30,000.
Well, yeah. I mean, if it comes down to it, I hope I can take a lot of them with me. But, everybody's got their own line in the sand, and everybody has to choose their own battles.
Well, when you make a statement like that, the first thought that entered my head is they're going to go anyhow. What has to be done is that center that we have lost in this country. We always had homosexuality or lesbianism or whatever you want to say. We always had the trappings and the failings of the human spirit around, but it was not generally accepted and supported by the government. These people will go by the wayside, as they have done time and time and time again. We have great cultures that come up and then eventually be destroyed. And it's the same play that plays out over and over and over again. Once people reinstitute what made their country so great, these issues, you're not going to have to kill a bunch of people. They're going to die of their own death. They're going to die as any human on the face of this planet dies.
Well, I think a lot of people nowadays, money is their god.
That's true.
You're right.
Money.
That's true, but you understand my point, what I'm saying here.
Well, yeah, you need to, if you have the intellectual ammunition to be able to understand what a free man is, then you can be, you can understand. But people I talk to, a lot of them, they don't want to hear it.
Well, people don't want to hear a lot of things.
Everyone has their own agenda. They want, they have their own little favorite program.
But like Gideon's Army, we're not looking for everyone.
There will be a time where people will refocus on what's important. That's when they have all their their giddy-ha-has taken away from them, all their little luxuries, all their money for that they can make for their playful expenditures. Once all that stuff disappears, we have this amazing tendency to refocus on what's important again. And that's going to happen again.
It
has throughout mankind's history. It will happen again and again and again and again.
Thanks for your call, Thomas.
Oh, I appreciate it.
So we have to exhaust our remedies also before we resort to violence. And the issue is, do we have remedy in participating in lawful government, lawful, provable government? I say yes.
Well, and right now, I mean, I was a part of this militia movement back in the 90s, and that was way premature. What should have been done back in the 90s is what we were talking about and doing right now,
right,
trying to get a coalition of right-thinking people together to hash out the differences. Let's get together what we can agree on, pick up that gauntlet, and go with it.
Right. You have to have a militia that will protect a body politic, and they have to be under the authority of an executive, not under the authority of a general.
Well, I'm telling you what, we had more generals than you could shake a stick at, buddy. I can tell you that much. Clay in New Mexico. Thanks for holding, Clay.
Hi.
Hi.
John, this is Beans and Tortillas Clay in Albuquerque.
Okay.
Good listening to you.
I've been listening a little bit. I haven't had a chance to listen too much today. I hope I'm not getting off topic too much. I wondered if John could clear up maybe a few things in my mind. I've had questions about the executive orders that the president signs.
Yes.
Those, as I understand it, become law after 60 days if Congress doesn't act on them.
Right. And there has never been one executive order that's been repealed throughout. I don't even know when they started executive orders, John.
Well, you have to understand the first executive order came out in the early 1800s, and you have to understand the origin of executive orders. Executive orders are lawful in the right jurisdiction. The first executive order was to lower the flags to half staff because of the passing of one of the presidents. So the president has authority to dictate whatever he wants over the 10-mile square and over federal areas. You know, if he says I'm going to make a executive order that every trash can in the government be blue, well, he can do that. The issue is this concept of the expansion of federal executive orders over all the people and controlling all the people in all the states.
Has anyone ever challenged an executive order, a citizen, in a court?
Well, the issue is that once you become a federal citizen, a United States citizen rather than the state citizen, which is the overthrow of what the 14th Amendment did, then you fall under the federal authority where they can pass exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever. They're not bound by the Constitution anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can actually do this, and it can become law because we're dealing with federal people in federal territories or in, you know, these federalized states that were created by Reconstruction. The issue is if you want to have federal orders not pertain to you, you need to get out of the federal district. You need to become a state citizen.
Okay. I understand that part. If Congress passes a law, it becomes codified in the U.S. Code, do the executive orders at some point by operation of law ever just become codified law, or are they just executive orders?
I guess those become policy.
Has anybody ever jumped up and challenged one of those in one of their own courts?
Well, I've looked into this before, and yes, executive orders have been challenged. And again, as long as the president is doing executive orders over places he has authority over, again, we're dealing in emergency powers now.
Right.
We're not dealing in peacetime. You have to remember that this country has not operated in peacetime capacity our entire lives.
Right.
Okay, so what
right.
that means is that in time, government operates in one of two modes. Either according to the law, it's bound by in times of peace, or in times of emergency, it can put aside parts of the law to deal with the emergency. And that's the problem. We have become accustomed to this emergency, that it's in place. And we see these things like executive orders that appear to be violating the law, and they would be violating the law if we were in peace. he has no authority to do any of this stuff. But in an emergency, this stuff can, you know, it becomes, for lack of a better term, legitimized, even though it's not legitimate. How long do you have an emergency in place before it no longer is an emergency and just becomes standard policy or standard operating procedure? And that's what's happened in this country.
Okay. As an aside, and since I missed some of this, were you working on a book or a DVD with Ed Waller? Did you guys get that?
No, I've got my own book that I put out years back. Gosh, I think in 95 or 96. But no, what Ed's doing is a project of his own and some other people. I do not even know the details of it to even comment on. I don't even know if I'm for it or against it yet. Do I see it?
What book did you put out?
The Federalization of the States.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
The Federalization of the States. And it's really more for it's a seminar outline book, which goes into the documentation of how we got to where we are, getting into the Supreme Court cases and you know, all these issues, getting the emergency powers, Senate reports, just a whole plethora of things.
What's your opinion if Desi Andrews would say once in a while, when I would listen to her, that if someone declared peace, the executive orders that have been passed all these years or have been put into play, would they just dissolve, do you think?
On the surface, without knowing everything that Desi has said, I would say no. I mean, that goes into the concept of if you are a conquered people, like the French under, you know, Hitler, in the 1930s and early 1940s, if the people declare peace, well, you can declare peace of one of two ways. You can declare peace and become and join in with the conquerors, but can you declare peace and go against them? And the issue is, no, they're at war with you. They are there to conquer you. They are there to subjugate you. And you know, and that's one of the issues. And also, that doesn't, well, I'm not going to go into a lot of things about what I believe on that because I don't know that whole argument, and I don't want to get off on a topic that I'm not thoroughly familiar with her take on that.
Okay. Just one other item, John Stadtmiller. I know you said that you're a better behind-the-scenes man, but if you get to that point that you go behind the scenes, I will miss that because I do enjoy hearing you on the radio and the internet every day.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And somebody else had made a comment about that, that they thought I was a better upfront guy. It takes time. Thursdays, it's a little different because on Thursdays, I pretty much know the subject matter I'm going to be talking about and the people I'm going to be dealing with. But when you do radio programming, to do a decent job, you've got to make the initial contact, you've got to talk to the people you have on, you've got to read their information, you've got to do research, you've got to do the program. And all of that takes time. And we're still in not emergency mode here, we're still in building mode. And my time on that Thursday, which is the best day, Friday, nobody wants to do any business, nobody wants to talk. You know, Thursday is that last day of the week that you can get things done. And I just think that it's better served. And as I said, especially with the subject matter we're talking about, I'm kind of extraneous on this. I learn by doing this show, as people do by listening to the show. But
okay, so you're just talking about Thursdays?
Yeah, just Thursdays, yes.
All right,
yeah.
Well, I won't miss you so bad then.
Okay.
But let me say one more thing to Clay about this declare peace thing. I got to thinking a little bit about it. Is if you declare peace and correct your status, I believe you got a shot at it, because at that point it would show whether our government is treasonous or not. You know, because the issue is if you correct your status to become a state citizen, the only crime mentioned in the Constitution is treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them, the several states. So by declaring peace as a state citizen, now, then if they want to continue to subjugate you, they would be violating the law. But if you declare peace as a U.S. citizen, I'm not sure, you know, where your remedy lies in that. See what I'm saying? So you declare peace and correct status, I think, could go hand in hand, and you could force them to show their hand of what they're about. Are they about treason and maintaining the overthrow of lawful government in this country?
You talk about something going over the head of the populace. I think that you really that would really do it. Declare your status and declare peace at the same time. Boy, that would be a tough one to try to explain to people.
Well, but we're doing it, and we've been doing it, and we've been arguing it in courts, and the courts have been dismissing it. Because the issue is you don't have to explain it to everybody. Not everybody even wants to hear it. Most Americans are conditioned to 15-second sound bites, and if you take more than 15 seconds to explain something to them, they get the thousand-yard stare and don't know how to concentrate anymore. And so I can't help that.
Are you a part of NC Republic also?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm the founder of the NC Republic.
Okay. Well, I only get bits and pieces as I'm able to listen and then the archives, and you've invited me to email you, and I'm going to one of these days when I get caught up on, I got all of Dusty's stuff, and I want to see your book and what Ed's doing, but I will be in touch with you eventually because I'd like to see the peace declared and get everybody's status squared away, and I appreciate you taking my call.
All right. Well, thank you, Clay. I appreciate it. Quick break here, and Jurgen, hang on, from Indiana. You'll be the last caller on this edition of the National Intel Report with John Ainsworth. We'll be right back.
The future of health and wellness is here, and a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Do you desire your health and vitality to be in harmony with the rhythms of nature? Trivortex technology features subtle energy products that boost energy levels, relieve pain and stress, and much more at very affordable prices. You have the opportunity to wear vitamins, minerals, and nutrients that absorb through your skin rather than taking them orally. This is real, not science fiction. Go to trivortex.com, that is TRIVORTEX.com, to open a whole new realm of health and vitality for you and your family. This is Brian David Anderson, inventor of Trivortex technology products that assist in so many areas, such as pain relief, symptoms of menopause, losing weight, or stopping smoking. Trivortex technology is in harmony with the rhythms of nature.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
One last caller here, Jurgen in Indiana. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, I listened to you on your old friend Kevin from Michiana Days.
Okay.
My question was, I love my country, Indiana, and
I love you saying that. That's the proper way to say it.
I'm learning as much as I can about correcting status. I've even going to be broadcasting on Friday night, a little micro broadcaster here in Northwest Indiana, to train as much out and learn as much as I can, and maybe get a few people there, maybe a IN Republic if we can. Maybe, so my question really is, our Constitution here in Indiana was changed in 1851. That's a little bit before Reconstruction, wasn't it?
Well, every state has the authority to change its own Constitution if it's done by the consent of the people. The issue is Indiana, because of the passage, the forced passage of the 14th Amendment, its body politic was changed. If you look at an Indiana voter registration application today, you will see that the only people allowed to vote in that state are United States citizens who reside in the state. So this is the subtle change that took place. Even though you didn't go through Reconstruction like the southern states did, where there was just an absolute total overthrow of the governments, coming in with force and bayonets and military to create new governments and put the people under it and call it free government, which is an absurdity, even though Indiana didn't go through that, your body politic was changed to the forced passage of the 14th Amendment. So that's how you are changed. And you have remedy to correct that.
Okay.
Your state was stolen from you, and you just need to understand that. But now, I love the way you started out, that you love your country, Indiana. I mean, that is truly the way this nation was founded. That was a concept in this nation up until Abraham Lincoln and that war, which took us from having being a union of technically countries and nations organized with giving up some sovereignty to the federal government to becoming a nation of one people, United States citizens residing in the several states. So we really need to get back to that.
Okay. And, John,
yes.
Last week, I believe, that in the Articles of Confederation, the United States was a lowercase u. I went to see, and all I could find was the capital United States of America with the capital U. And you said that was the lowercase was significant.
I said that?
Yeah.
That must have been with Ed on the program. Forgive me, I don't recall exactly what I said.
Okay. So I went to the Articles of Confederation to see what the original founders were really thinking, and that was unanimously voted on, right?
Yes.
The articles?
Yep, it sure was.
And that was one of the failings of that document, was everything had to be unanimously passed, which made it just get deadlocked to where nothing could pass because they couldn't get unanimity.
Okay. All right, thanks a lot.
All right, I appreciate your call, Jürgen.
You have a great day.
Thank you, appreciate it. John, that's it for this edition.
Well, thanks, John.
I'll tell you what, we'll work out a schedule for you coming up and doing your own program.
Oh, sounds good.
On Thursdays. How's that one?
Well, that sounds like a good thing.
Okay.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Okay, John, thank you very much.
Thank you, John.
God bless. And have a good time up there, and think about me when you're bubbling around in your hot tub.
Yeah, right.
All right.
Have a good week.
You too. Bye-bye. That'll do it, folks. We'll be back with you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. God bless you.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.